thanks once again. And it is continuing to be a pleasure to read from the Bible and to discuss this topic. It is Jesus God. Now, Mr. Wiesom made several points, and again, I hope everyone recognizes this. You know, if someone gave me a book like the Bible and put it before me, and my mindset was to just ask a lot of questions, and why this and why that and how's this fit together. Now, it's good on one hand for us to question, why did God say this, and why is it written like that? It helps us to learn. But if our intent is to disprove the Bible, well, you can do that, and you can raise all kinds of questions that really will cause someone to do a great deal of study in order to answer. And so you can raise 15 or 20 questions in a couple of minutes and then say, all right, here, you have 15 minutes to answer. Well, I'm afraid Mr. Wiesom's points can be addressed, but I'm only going to pick out a couple of them, and because I want to continue with the topic that I had in mind. Now, the first is regarding the firstborn or first begotten of the dead, and yes, we can do that. Now, God is not required to place all the information in one verse, and he does this often in the Bible. He gives us a little bit here and a little bit there. And in the book of Isaiah, in I think it's Isaiah 28 or 29, God says, who will he teach knowledge, and who will learn doctrine? And then he goes on to state this principle, here a little, there a little, and precept must be upon precept. And so we read Colossians 1, and God speaks of the firstborn how's it go there? The firstborn of creatures. Let's see exactly how it's put in Colossians 1, verse 15. Jesus is the firstborn of every creature, and yet, in order to understand that, we go somewhere else. Here a little in Colossians, there a little in Revelation. Now, God speaks of Jesus as the first begotten of the dead. Now we have harmony. Now we have agreement with the Bible. We understand it correctly. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, that is how we have to come to the Bible, by allowing the Bible itself to be its own dictionary, to allow God to define his own terms. Now the second point was Mr. Wiesom was speaking of the verse that indicates whosoever sins, they are remitted, and he seemed to imply that it's possible for men to forgive other men their sins. And that is a total falsehood. The Bible nowhere indicates that. God alone is the one who is able to forgive. Nobody else can. Now, there is a church in particular, that very huge church, and they think that they can, their priests can forgive people's sins, and so people go and confess to them and call them Father, and all that's contrary to the Bible. It goes against what the Bible teaches, and there's no one who can forgive anyone else their sins. No one is that holy or that good in themselves. People might think they can, but if I say to you, your sins are forgiven, well, that doesn't change the fact you're still a sinner, and you're going to pay for your sins. Or if the Pope says your sins are forgiven, or if some other holy man says your sins are forgiven, well, yeah, you can maybe feel pleased at that, and you can have confidence in that, but on Judgment Day, you're going to find you have to answer for those same sins, because God alone forgives sins. Now, a third thing that really has to be addressed is when Thomas falls down and says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Now, to try and pass this off as an expression that some Americans say, which by the way, is contrary to the Bible, God says, we're not to take his name in vain. And so if someone using an expression says, oh my God, well, that's a sin. And in no way would God promote that kind of sinfulness in the Bible. Thomas is not just surprised or shocked and using an expression. He has been convinced. He has been someone in Jesus' presence for a period of time, but now he recognizes, now everything has come together as he is falling as a creature before his Creator, as a mere man before the everlasting God. He is falling before the Savior. And that's exactly what I would like to discuss in this third installment, this third opportunity to share with you, and that is, in order to be God, one must be Savior. We read in Isaiah 43, in verse 11, these words, I, even I, am the Lord, and that's the word Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. No Savior, God says, besides himself. He alone is the jealous God. He alone is the Savior of those he intends to save, his people. He alone will get that glory. He alone will have that honor. He'll not share that with any other. The wording is unmistakable. There's no way we can avoid the fact that God is saying he is Savior. It's repeated in Hosea chapter 13 and in verse 4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Me alone, I alone, I am God. And one of the traits of God, one of the characteristics of God, is that I will save my people, I will be the deliverer, I will rescue them from sin and from hell, I will pardon their transgressions, I am the Savior. Well, we know where this leads, don't we? Because everywhere it seems, and I'm exaggerating slightly, but it is found very often in the New Testament, we find Jesus is the Savior. In Luke chapter 2, this wonderful declaration is made in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. How could it be? Certainly the Jews would be familiar with Isaiah 43:11. Is this why Simeon was so taken with a young child? Is this why Anna the prophetess was prophesying so? Could it be that the one that Isaiah speaks of, Emmanuel, God with us, could it be the one that is born of a virgin, the one who it is said unto you a child is given, and his name will be the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father? Could it be, is it possible, that God himself has entered into the world in the form of a child? He is the Savior, but only Jehovah is the Savior. Well, you see, that's exactly what God is saying. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Jesus is Jehovah God. They are one. I don't know how it can be. It's a mystery how three can be yet one. But that's what the Bible teaches. That's what God reveals of himself. He is the everlasting God. Now, let's go to Titus. Titus, it's a book that comes before Hebrews in the New Testament. And I'm going to show that in the New Testament, the same truth of the old it is put forth, that is, that God alone is Savior. However, we're also going to see that Jesus is Savior in Titus chapter 1. It says in verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Nothing's changed. Just as Isaiah 43:11 says, I, Jehovah, only am Savior. Well, now look at verse 4. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. See, God first indicates that He is Savior, God is Savior, then Jesus is Savior. In Titus 2, we find the same thing in verse 10. May adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And then in verse 13 of Titus 2, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So God has doubled it up. He's said it twice, but he's not through in Titus chapter 3. And verse 4, we read again, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, then in verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. God knew exactly what he was writing. He knew some people would have difficulty with the concept of the Trinity. He knew some would wonder, well, how could God speak from heaven and the Son be upon earth? I don't know. It's a mystery. But I do know that if you're going to believe the Bible teaches that God only, without exception. The point is that the Bible teaches that Jesus is the Savior. And yet the Bible also says that God alone is Savior. In Titus chapter 1, we read God is Savior, and in a verse following shortly thereafter, Jesus is Savior. The same in Titus chapter 2. God is Savior, Jesus is Savior. In Titus chapter 3, God is Savior, Jesus is Savior. Now the emphasis that God is placing upon this, we cannot mistake, we cannot avoid saying that Jesus is the Savior, and only God qualifies as Savior according to the verses we read in Isaiah 43. Now, there's an extremely important verse in Acts chapter 4 where it says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, how can that be? How can that be? Only through Jesus. He is the only way to the Father. He is the only name whereby one can find eternal life for salvation. Yes, because He is Jehovah. Jehovah is God's name when he wants to emphasize His mercy and grace in salvation. And Jesus is eternal God. He is the one who has entered into the human race, has so greatly humbled Himself. Just think of that. Think of the majesty and the glory and the greatness there is in the person of God. And think how He did love such a wretched people as we are, those that He has come to save, by dirtying Himself and getting into the mud that is this earth, and then paying the penalty, which is awful, awful. It is to endure eternal damnation for the sins of all His people. And then, this is the love and mercy and grace of God. This is the work of a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. He qualifies, once again. He is the everlasting one, He is the Creator, and He is the Savior of men. Thank you, and I'll turn the mic over to Mr. Wissam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be unto you, all of you. Again, you know, I survived now the third time or the second time. You brush out what I said. You brush out everything I said. You do not pay attention to what I said. And you clearly said that. There is a lot of questions. Wissam said, and I do not have, he said, you do not have time to answer this question. And you're gonna go ahead, you say whatever you wanna say. No, you have to answer my questions. You said three points. One, Jesus is eternal. Eternal or everlasting, it means he has no beginning, he has no end. Everybody agreed with me that God has no beginning, has no end. That's what means of eternal, everlasting. But Jesus has beginning. Read the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 7. He is born in a manger. And he has end as you please. He died on the cross. How come he can be eternal? How come he can be eternal? And God Almighty is eternal. God Almighty is everlasting God. He cannot be eternal. Second, he said Jesus is the creator. I ask you, where in the Bible Jesus created anything? Give me one verse from the New Testament that Jesus created anything. He's just assuming. Assuming, you know? Jesus never said, I am the creator. Where in the gospel that Jesus said, I am the creator? Where in the gospel Jesus created anything? Third, he said, Jesus is the savior. Then Jesus is God. You're telling us, and this is actually the doctrine of Christianity, that the sin was a limited sin, the sin of Adam, and this sin was against a limited person, and this person is God, and it must be a limited person who sacrificed himself on the cross. And the only one can do that is God Almighty. And he said it clear that God sacrificed for us. That God Almighty paid the penalty. God Almighty paid it. God Almighty himself, he died on the cross. And this is not biblical teaching. This is not biblical truth. Why? Because God Almighty is everlasting God. Because God Almighty is eternal. Because God Almighty cannot die. Listen over here. Why? In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 40, for I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. That's what God said. He cannot die on the cross. He cannot die 3 days. Again, Jeremiah 10:10, but the Lord is the true God. He is living God and an everlasting King. He cannot die. He cannot die on the cross for 3 days. He cannot. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 18:3. As I live, God is everlasting. His eternal cannot die on the cross. He is not God. First letter of Timothy, chapter 6, verse 16. Who only have immortality, he cannot die. Dwelling in the life, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see. The first letter of Timothy, 1:17, and listen by attention, 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, he cannot die on the cross, he cannot die, eternal, immortal, invisible, nobody can see him. Everybody sees Jesus Christ. Now, again, you misquote the verse in Galatians, chapter 1:15, and it said that Jesus is the first one arise from the dead. No, the verse said, the firstborn of every creature. God created him the firstborn of every creature. The verse did not say the first one arise from the dead. No. God created. He cannot be co-equal to God because God is uncreated. Nobody created God, but God created Jesus Christ. In the same was done the same in the book of Revelation, chapter 3:14. Revelation 3:14 says about Jesus Christ, he is the beginning of God's creation. The beginning of God's creation. And you just back out what I said. You did not answer nothing. Absolutely nothing. Again, you said nobody can forgive sin. The only one can forgive sin is God. No, it's not true. It's not true. Read the Bible. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 5:15. Leviticus 5:15. And the priest shall make atonement for him as touching his sin, that he has sinned in one of this, and it shall be forgiven him. The priest himself forgive his sin. Look at it. Chapter 4:15. And it shall be forgiven him. The remnant shall be the priest as a means of offering. Very clear. Very clear. The priest can forgive sin. Leviticus chapter 5:15. Read it. Read it. And if Jesus forgives sin, why on the cross ask God Almighty to forgive the sin of mankind? Luke chapter 24:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why Jesus on the cross asked the Father to forgive their sin? Why Jesus asked somebody else to forgive their sin? If Jesus alone forgives sin, why you ask the Father? Why you ask somebody else? Now, with all respect to you, you failed to give us one verse, a clear statement, a clear cut statement from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am God. I am your Lord. It has not existed. Also, you failed to give us one verse from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am God manifested in flesh. I am God and a man at the same time. I have two natures. I am perfect man and perfect God. It's not there. Where in the Bible? It's not there. It's not existed. Now, if you say Jesus is God because he's the Son of God, no. Give me one verse from the Bible. Jesus said, my sonhood to God is different than you. But Jesus said, you are the same, like him. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 20:17, I am ascended to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Now about the miracle of Jesus Christ. Is the miracle make him God? No. Miracle does not make him God. Right. Jesus said, in the book of John, chapter 5:36, it says, listen everybody carefully about the miracle of Jesus Christ. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works, the miracles, which the Father has given me, it's from God. God gave them these miracles which the Father has given me to finish. The same works that I do, bear witness of me. Bear witness of what? He is God. He is the Son of God. Bear witness of Trinity. No, that the Father has sent me. That the Father has sent me. Very clear? Very clear or not very clear? Same thing in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God, among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. The miracles from God Almighty. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 13, I cannot do nothing by my own self. Absolutely nothing. 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 What kind of God is? Jesus also said he is not the Father. He did. In the book of John, chapter 5, again, 31, he said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me. Another. Who is another? God Almighty is the Father. And he said, you sent him to John, and he bear witness of the truth. But I receive not testimony of man from man. I receive not testimony from man. Why? Because God is not a man. God is not human. Now I would like to know. Or the other person witness for Jesus and he is not a man. He is not human. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 37, and the Father who sent me, bear witness of me. You never heard his voice, nor see his shape. And by the way, you said there is no contradiction in the Bible. The Bible do not contradict itself. I give you clear cut contradiction, and you did not pay attention to it. in the book of John 5:37, and the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have never heard his voice. Neither, heard, never, ever. Nobody heard the voice of the Father. At any time, no seen in shape. At any time. But in the book of Luke, I'm sorry, in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 16, 17, 18, we find out the Father from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. How come? How come? How come? 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How come? Jesus said, you never heard those words. You never heard those words. At any time. At any time. But here, said in the book of Matthew, the Father himself said, this is my beloved Son. Very clear? Very clear or not? How many minutes I have left? How many minutes I have left? And tell me, is this the second one is the third? المداخلة اللي جاية رقم ثلاثة ولا أربعة؟ The second session is number third or fourth? Third, okay. Okay, so now it's very clear. It's very clear. Jesus never say I'm God. Jesus never say I'm God manifested in flesh. The Son of Jesus Christ does not make him God. The miracle of Jesus Christ does not make him God. So now I'm asking you a very clear statement, very clear question, I'm sorry. Why you worshiping Jesus? Why? Why you take Jesus as Lord and God? Why? Just give me one reason why. This is the third. This is the third. Okay. Why you worshiping Jesus? Why you take him as your Lord and Christ? Why? Why? If Jesus never say I'm God, if Jesus never say I'm God manifested in flesh, why are you worshiping him? Why? Give me just one reason why. You said Jesus is eternal. No, he's not eternal. God is eternal. Jesus has a beginning. Jesus has end. You said Jesus is creator. He did not create nothing. Jesus himself, God Almighty created him. How come he is? God created him and he's creator. How? In the book of first law of creation, 1:15, the first born of every creature, born, not the first arise of the dead, the first born. Also the book of Revelation, 3:14, the beginning of God's creation. God created him. How you can put him at the same level as God? God is uncreator. Nobody created God. But God created Jesus. How you can put him at the same level as God? Jesus said, my God, my Father is greater than me. John 14:28. How you can put Jesus with God, with the Father, and Jesus said, the Father is greater than me. Jesus said in the book of John, 10:29, the Father is greater than all, what meaning all in English language? It means everybody. How come you put him in the same level with God Almighty, with the Father? How? This statement, clear statement from the mouth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ, he is not co-equal to God. He does not have the same essence like God. That God is greater than him. That God Almighty is greater than everything that exists in the universe. Again, John 10:29. The Father is greater than all. What means all? All. Everything exists in the universe, including Jesus, including who all? Also, the Holy Spirit. Now again, you did not answer anything I said at all. You do not pay attention to what I'm saying at all. Nothing, absolutely. With all respect, I do not mean to be rude or anything, but this is fact. You go ahead assuming Jesus is God without proofs. The mic is yours. I think this is the last session, 20 minutes. Is this true? Can you please let me know? Yes? This is the last session for him? 20 minutes? Yes or no? Yes? So I can give him the mic. Yes? Yes, okay, the mic is yours.